Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and we're going to move around in it a little bit, so starting with verses 1 to 3, and then 14 to 25, and then the beginning of chapter 5. So I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. Paul writes, "I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learn Christ. For surely you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So one of the stories that I always used to read our kids at bedtime is Horton Hatches the Egg by Dr. Seuss. Any of you familiar with Horton Hatches the Egg? Some of us know Horton Hears a Who. They made that into a movie, but Horton Hatches the Egg, different story, same Horton. It's the story of this lazy bird named Maisie who gets tired of sitting on her egg. She wants to go on vacation, but she can't leave her egg. She needs someone to sit on it for her. This elephant named Horton walks by, and she convinces him to sit on her egg, in her nest, up in a tree. She begs and pleads and promises that she will be right back. You won't even know that I'm gone. So Horton reluctantly agrees, and he climbs up in the tree and sits on her egg. Sits for months and months, through rainstorms in the summer and blizzards in the winter. He sits on that egg even though the other animals come up and make fun of him, laughing at the sight of an elephant in a tree. He keeps sitting on that egg even though he is lonely and just wants to go play. He keeps sitting on it even when hunters come up, have their guns pointed at him and are just about to shoot him. But then the hunters decide that an elephant sitting in a tree is so amazing that other people need to see this. So they dig up the tree, with Horton still in it, put the whole tree in a wagon, and haul it away to the circus. Horton travels over mountains and oceans. He goes all over the country with this circus, and he never leaves that egg, never gets off. He keeps sitting on it, waiting for that bird to come back, because he made her a promise. And there's this line that he keeps saying over and over again throughout the story. He says, "I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful 100%. Now eventually, the bird does come back, right as the egg is hatching. And of course, now that all the work is done, she wants her egg back. But right as Horton is getting off of the egg, it cracks open, and out comes a half-elephant, half-bird that looks just like Horton. And all the people there at the circus, they're so amazed by it that they let Horton and his baby elephant bird go back home and everyone is happy except the lazy bird who doesn't get anything that she wanted. But I want to come back to that line that Horton says over and over again. Every time he is tempted to get off of that egg and just leave and go do what he wants to do, he says, "I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful 100%. An elephant's faithful." So does that mean that Horton believes in God? That Horton has given his life to Jesus Christ and lives in ways that trust him? Because that's how we typically think of faith, right? And what it means to be faithful. That faith is about believing in God and living in ways that show our trust in God. But Horton shows us another way to understand faithfulness. Paul says to the Galatians that when you're living your life by the Spirit of God, when you're desiring the things of the Spirit as opposed to the things of the flesh and the things of this world, then your life will show forth certain characteristics. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and generosity. We've been talking about these all throughout the summer. And this week, Paul adds to that list faithfulness. If you live by the Spirit of God and desire the things of the Spirit, you will live in ways that show faithfulness. Now, the word that Paul uses here for faithfulness is the Greek word pisti, which gets translated in several different ways. It can mean belief or faith or trust, like we typically understand it. And that kind of faith is important. We're not dismissing that understanding. It's just that we talk about that understanding of faith all the time. You know, believing and trusting in God. Even through doubts or through hard times. That's the kind that we talk about all the time. So what I want to look at today is another understanding of faith. One that means something closer to fidelity. There's one definition that explains faithfulness as the character of one who can be relied on. Someone who is faithful is someone that other people can count on and depend on. A faithful friend, a faithful spouse. Theologian Charlie Couser talks about it as reliability in a world where one may often be the victim of another's unreliability. In a world that is often unreliable, we are called to be reliable. So faithfulness, aside from belief and trust, it also has something to do with reliability. Keeping your word and sticking with people. I mean, that's the kind of faithfulness that we see in Horton the Elephant, right? Meant what he said, said what he meant. You can count on him. He keeps his word and sticks with that egg no matter what. So what does it look like for us to bear that kind of faithfulness? In our reading from Ephesians, Paul calls on the Ephesians to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called. And then he goes through the rest of the chapter talking about what that looks like. He talks about speaking the truth in love. Now, a lot of times we hear that verse, and we understand it to be about telling people hard, uncomfortable truths in loving ways so that it's easier to hear. Like, if I have to have a conversation with you about something that you've done wrong or some problem you're having, instead of just berating you and throwing it in your face, I'm supposed to talk with you about it in a way that's patient and kind and hopeful and loving, right? That's how we often read this verse, about speaking the truth in love, when we place the emphasis on love. We're speaking the truth, but we're doing it in love. But this can also just be about speaking the truth, telling the truth. Speaking the truth to our neighbors is an act of love. Paul says in verse 25, putting away all falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors. We are called to speak in such a way that people believe us. Not in ways that are sarcastic or that exaggerate or embellish or spin the truth. So that people know they can trust us and depend on us. When people know that you are a Christian, You should speak in such a way that there is not a doubt in their mind as to whether you are telling them the truth and they can trust you. Paul says in verse 21 that truth is in Jesus. So as followers of Jesus, truth should also be in us. We mean what we say, and we say what we mean. Now, when Paul talks about speaking the truth in love, he is not just talking about our words. The word he uses here for speaking is not the Greek word that typically gets used throughout the New Testament for the verb speaking. When someone spoke to someone else, it's a different verb. That verb gets used a lot. This one gets used two times throughout the New Testament. And this word actually means speaking and doing. Both of them together, they're linked. Paul is talking here, and he says, speaking the truth in love, about backing up our words with our actions. Saying something to someone, and then doing what you said you would do. If you tell someone you're going to be somewhere at a certain time, you are there no matter what it might cost you to get there. If you tell someone you're going to pray for them, then you actually need to pray for them. How many times do we just kind of throw that up when we don't know what else to say in a conversation? Oh, I'm going to be keeping you in prayer. Are you? Are you doing that? If you promise someone something, then you make every possible effort to keep your promise. This is about speaking the truth and keeping your word so that other people can trust you. Because you, all of us, we are reflections of Jesus Christ to the world. And if they can't trust us, then what does that say about the Lord that we serve? The reason that we do this, the reason that we're called to put away falsehood and speak the truth in love, is because Paul says we are members of one another. We are all children of God, created in the image of God, so we are bound to each other. We are family. We're connected to every person around us in Christ. And because of that, Paul says, we must make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We're connected with each other, and we must speak and act in ways that keep us connected, that stick with each other. And being faithful means that we stick with each other even when it's hard. Even when you see this other person making mistakes or choices that you would not make, or going down a path that you know is wrong, being faithful, it doesn't mean that we have to go along with what they're saying or they're doing, but it means that we don't give up on them. That they know we are here for them and they can count on us. In all of this, Paul says, we are to be imitators of God. And what is God like? God keeps God's word and God sticks with people. God is faithful. And we see that in this psalm that we heard earlier. It talks about God's steadfast love that is established forever. God's love is set in stone. It is rock solid. It is not going anywhere. It says, your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. And the example that it gives here is how God did this with King David. It says, I have set a crown on him and anointed him. My hand shall always remain with him. My faithfulness and steadfast love shall be with him. Forever I will keep my steadfast love for him, and my covenant with him will stand firm. Now, David was not perfect, right? David committed adultery. David had somebody murdered. David made plenty of bad choices. But even when David messed up, God stuck with him. God did not stop loving him. And God says here, if his children, whether that's talking about his biological children or just like the people of Israel, the children of Israel, if his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my ordinances, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I may have to correct them, but I will not remove my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. Once and for all, God says, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. God has made a promise, and God will keep that promise and stick with David and with the people of Israel and with us. And we are called to imitate God, to be faithful as God is faithful, to speak the truth, to keep our word, and to stick with each other. Our faithfulness to each other is supposed to be a reflection of God's faithfulness to us. God is reliable, so we should be reliable. God is trustworthy, so we should be trustworthy. God does not lie, so we should not lie. God keeps promises, so we should keep our word. God does not give up on us, so we should not give up on each other. In all that we do, we should speak the truth and back those words up with our actions. We should make every effort to maintain the bond between us. The way that we speak and act bears witness to the world of the faithfulness of God. They look at us and they see something, hopefully, about how God is faithful and reliable and trustworthy. So if we can mean what we say and say what we meant, then we will be faithful the way that God is. 100%. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, that your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens, that your steadfast love for us is rock solid, and that even when we stumble and fall and make mistakes, you do not give up on us. You do not withdraw your love or your presence from us. Help us to be so faithful with each other. Help us to speak in ways that are truthful. Help us to keep our word even when it is incredibly hard. Help us to stick with each other, even when we see each other making mistakes or even when it's challenging. Help us bear the same kind of faithfulness that you bear through Jesus Christ. We ask that we might bear this kind of fruit in our lives and in this world so that others might look at us and see your goodness and your steadfast love. So grow in us such a faith that we can be faithful reflections of your love through Christ. Amen.